Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyo from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-Roe anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is the effervescent Jody Hamilton. We love Jody. I'm so excited to talk to her today. Obviously, we have lots to talk about because it's Jody. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jody Hamilton. Welcome back to the show, Jody.
Thank you for having me back, Kimberly.
It's the effervescent Jody Hamilton.
That's one way to call me.
I'm so happy we're doing the show because you and Greg Oley are like, you're easy like Sunday morning. I just recently include Brian Karam in the easy like Sunday morning crowd.
He's so fun. I love him so much.
Didn't you just see him?
I did. We had him on our show, The Politics Bar.
Yes, The Polit. I was going to talk about that in a second.
We had him on our show a few weeks ago, and then he was a guest when Lonnie and I went to go see Hal Sparks.
Right, so that's what it was.
I got to meet him in person, and then Lonnie got to hear his Rodney Dangerfield, so that's
how it was. That's so funny. Yeah, he did all the impressions when we were at the Sexy Liberal in January of this year. He was doing a documentary. And it was supposed to be on Trump's first 100 days, but then I guess it's gone beyond 100, so whatever. But, you know, he was interviewing everybody, and he interviewed Bob. And so it was so funny because he brings Bob into the room. And I was there while they were doing the interview, and he kept doing all of his impressions. And he's just such a goofball. That's what I love about him. He's so goofy. I mean, he's a smart guy and, you know, all the accolades and all the bona fides. But what I love about him is just a freaking goofball.
He makes me smile.
Yeah, he does. He's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about The Politics Bar a little bit, because you have not been on my show since you've been hosting this. So let's just talk about it and some of your guests. You have some awesome guests.
Well, I had you.
Of course, that's the most awesome guest, of course.
Totally, the most awesome guest ever is Kimberly Johnson. We have our regulars, Brooklyn Dad Defiant, your boyfriend, Bob Seska, who I will be speaking with in a few hours. The John Fugelsang, whose new book, Separation of Church and State, everybody should buy.
Yes.
And then Karen and Anita, Karen from Chicago and Anita from San Antonio, who have True Blue Politics. They are our regulars.
Yes.
Besides those guys, we had a little person that I call Mom on the show.
A little person called Carol Burnett.
Yes. She was our first guest.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it was really nice of her to do it, by the way, because she doesn't do that. I mean, I've had so many people go, can she be on my show? I'm like, no.
No.
I was I was lucky to get her on mine, you know, so no.
Well, you are her daughter, so that's kind of.
It was helpful. I had an in.
Yeah, right.
We just had the politics girl on yesterday. We've had JoJo Jers. We've had Brian Karam, like I said. Harry Littman, Barb McQuaid.
Wow, you got all the big names.
L.A. Mistal. And as soon as we can schedule it, it appears that we will have Martin Sheen and Renee Estevez on.
Oh my God. Okay, now hold on. I was just informed yesterday
of your
brunch with Mr. Sheen. But while your brunch is, I'm sure, really interesting and fascinating to you, what was fascinating to me was about one of his children, Renee. Mm-hmm. That you told Bob.
Mm-hmm. She was like, no, I've listened to, I know Star, because I was showing her my podcast, you know, app. And she goes, no, I know that show. I said, Start Me Up. She goes, yeah, I've listened to that. And I'm like, that's my friend Kimberly.
That's fucking insane. Like, he's like, Bob, well, first of all, we're watching the Charlie Sheen documentary right now. We've only watched the first one, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, I mean, he comes out of his office. He's like, hey, guess what? Renee Estevez is like, listens to Start Me Up. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm sure she's going to listen to this episode and then email me going, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm being mentioned.
Oh, my God. That's such a So anyway, let's just talk a little tiny bit about your brunch with freaking Martin Sheen.
Well, it was because, okay, so what has happened is he's doing a new podcast which involves poetry and his life.
He's so
and
cute.
All that. I know. And and so Renee called Travis Bone of the Stephanie Miller Show, and she said, I don't know how to do a podcast. And Travis goes, hold on, can I call Jody, because she's been doing it forever, and have her get in touch with you? And so Travis called me, and he goes, is it okay if I give Renee your number? And I said, of course. And so I got on the phone with Renee, who's adorable, and such a sweet lady. And I met her once before, but it was a brief meeting. And so I was chatting with her, and I said, look, there is one media company that I trust because they are above board, transparent, and let you do whatever content you want to do, and you own it, they don't. And I said, MSW Media. And she said, would you hook me up? So I said,
oh my
absolutely.
God. So I'm going to be posting his podcast.
You are. And so I emailed Allison and Kanai, and I said, is it okay if I give Renee Estevez your email because of her dad's new show? And she, and Allison goes, yeah,
of course.
He could read the phone book and okay with that. But no, I mean, and now it's just been so lovely. Cause so the reason that I went over there was because, first off, okay, I need to give you some backstory. When I first met Mr. and Mrs. Sheen, I kept calling them Mr. and Mrs. Sheen. And Janet Sheen kept saying, no, call us Janet and Martin. And I'm like, I can't do that. It's not how I was raised. I just can't. And then we text each other on occasion, and she texted me about my Aunt Julie Andrews, and my mom. And she goes, oh, okay, then just call us Aunt Janet and Uncle Martin. I'm like, I can do that.
Wait, hold on. Your aunt is Julie Andrews?
She's my mom's best friend, and I just call her Aunt Julie.
Oh, okay. But still, okay.
So it's like, so she sent me something.
Julie Andrews, okay.
She's my Aunt Julie. I mean, she's just, you know, known her forever. In fact, my mom did not go to my wedding reception that I didn't pay for because she was going to my Aunt Julie's 80th birthday party. So it's like, whatever, lady. Just because you've known her longer than you've known me, whatever. But no, I mean, no. So it's Uncle Martin and Aunt Janet. And so when I was talking to Renee, she goes, my mom and dad want you to come over sometime because they haven't seen you in a while. And I'm like, okay. And so we texted back and forth, and they're like, how about Sunday? And I said, can I bring my husband if he's not doing a car show thing? And they're like, absolutely. So 11:30 was the time, and we figured we'd be there until about 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
We got there at 11:30, and we left at 4.
Wow. I'm
we
so jealous.
We were not only fed breakfast, but lunch, and offered dinner.
Wow.
And they were so cute, and literally I just emailed Renee about Allison and Kanaya being thankful that I hooked them up and yada yada, and she's like, you know, you can move into the guest house anytime.
Oh my god!
Because they
That's
had this
awesome.
Their home is a beautiful ranch home in Malibu. They've lived there since the 70s. It's the same house. If you watch the Charlie Sheen mm-hmm. docu, all those home movies were shot at that house.
Yeah.
And,
well, I've got a little story about that in a minute too. But yeah, that's
but,
kind
I mean,
of,
it's
fun.
Just, I mean, he told Miss Uncle Martin, Mr. Sheen, it's so hard for me to still mm-hmm. say that. He told us a story when Emilio just had finished The Outsiders. And he goes, the Top Gun guy moved in with us. And we both went, Tom Cruise? He goes, yeah. He had no place to live at the time because, I mean, he wasn't a big star yet.
Wow.
And right after The Outsiders, remember? Everybody, yeah. The biggest stars were Ralph Macchio
yes.
and Patrick Swayze and Diane mm-hmm. Lane, right? And that was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And C. Thomas Howell was on his way up. So, I mean, everybody else in that movie who became big stars were kind of just up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so Emilio was like, can my friends stay with us for a couple of days? And sure. And then he stayed for like 2 months.
Wow. That's insane. Well, you know, okay, so two things. And I've told this story before, I probably told you, but I don't care. I'm telling it again. And it's very quick. But, you know, when I was a kid, I watched all these TV movies. And one of, you know, there was a whole bunch of them. And, you know, back in the 70s. And
oh, yeah.
One of them was called Sweet Hostage with Martin Sheen and Linda Blair. And so this movie was about he was kind of crazy and he abducted Linda Blair and he took her up to, and at the time, I think she was just 15 or 16. So there was like so many problems.
She was dating
movie.
Rick Springfield at the time, by the way, just
wow.
Side note.
Interesting. So then, you know, he abducts her and then she falls in love with him. And then the police find them and kill Martin Sheen. And she's really just upset. So mm-hmm. I saw this movie as a very young girl. And my mom and I had gone, I think this was like in, I don't know when it was, George Bush was president. And my mom and I went to some anti-war demonstration and there was Martin Sheen. So, you know, I was like, oh, look, there's Martin Sheen. And then so as we were getting into our cars, we were right next to each other and I rolled down my window and his window was down and I said, I love you in Sweet Hostage. It's like of all the movies, you know, he's been
of
in all these
movies.
Of
all the movies, yeah.
And he just was so cute and he waved. But so I want to talk a little bit about the Charlie Sheen thing, but before we do, what's so fascinating to me is at the very beginning, as you mentioned, they talked about, you know, the fact that Martin Sheen and when Charlie was growing up and everything, they weren't crazy wealthy. They just they just had like a regular blue collar life. And so they were showing all this footage and I don't remember who was narrating, but they were saying that at that time, which was probably around 1979-ish, that, you know, Malibu was that blue collar town and everything. And I was hanging out there. So mm-hmm. it was like a blue collar. It wasn't, I mean, yes,
it's
there were,
rural.
Yeah, there were definitely people who had money in Malibu, but a lot of it was just like the blue collar life by the beach.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend at the time, so this was it was 1979. And so I hung out with this girl, Nicole, and her mother was with this man who was a construction guy. And I remember, like, I think the first place they lived, because I spent a lot of time there at that time when they were all, you know, Charlie's 3 years older than me. So in those movies, those home movies that they were making, that was right around that same time.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like I was spending so much time there. And it was so interesting because there was this one shot, and it's really nothing, but it just tripped me out. But one shot in the documentary where all the boys were in this house that was being constructed. And so it was mm-hmm. like here they were in Malibu in this house that was being constructed. And so when I was in Malibu right at the exact same time, the property that my friend lived on was they were living in a, you know, like a trailer
uh-huh.
because her mom's boyfriend was like the foreman or whatever. And so they were building this mansion on the hillside. So he just lived in a trailer right there so he could be there all the time. And I mean, God, it was like, that was our playground. We used to go run around like, you know, $1 million house being built. So yeah. And then I also, living there, Nicole's parents were friends with Lee Lochnain, who was the trumpet player for Chicago. And so I used to hang out at Lee Lochnain's house all the time. So I just think it was like, you know, those Malibu days for me. I didn't live there, but because my best friend did, I spent so much time there. And it was just such a trip to watch that documentary. But so have you seen the whole documentary or have you only seen the
first? Yes, I've watched both episodes. And Heidi Fleiss is a mess. Mm-hmm. And so is Rebecca, I believe, was once one of Charlie's exes, a mess.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first one, so don't spoil anything.
And then Lonnie didn't recognize Denise Richards.
Yeah, my mom was like, wow, she doesn't look the same. But I mean, we all age, so I don't know.
Yeah, but no, she's had bad work done.
Mm-hmm.
She just, I mean, they show stuff of her how we know what she used to look like.
Yeah.
If you don't watch the house, wasn't she a housewife of something at some point?
Yes.
So she looks like that now, and I'm like, no, that's her. And then Lonnie's like, doesn't look like her. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, she's had her lips have been done and her hair and all this stuff, and it's just sad. I mean, Heidi Fleiss, man.
Heidi Fleiss looks like a fucking mess.
She's a meth. She's, I mean, the birds and
you know, she's a little whack.
I don't have a problem with all the birds. I have a problem with her like looking like a meth head.
Yeah, she totally does.
And then Rebecca, I believe is her name, blonde ex-wife, I think, of Charlie's. She's on it, I think, in the second episode. And mark my words, you're going to get the same opinion about her. It's like she was we were watching it the first time going, oh no, she's high.
Wow. Okay.
So high right now. It's like you cannot say she's not high.
Right.
And the fact that Emilio and Martin didn't do it is fine, you know? And Martin said to the producers, use any and all footage of me talking about my son.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Emilio. They were both like, do what you need to do, but we don't want to be involved, and that's
and
fine.
I can understand that. I can totally understand
that. Lived it.
Yeah,
you know, and Ramon did his, you know, brotherly thing because he's the biggest brother. And with Sean Penn though, Lonnie's like, he looks like crap. I said, dude, he has not had any work and he still smokes.
He never not has a cigarette in his fucking hand.
I know, he's like, I mean, it's like, dude, seriously, you need to quit. You're going to die.
I'm a little worried about him because I've heard, you know, in the last several years, whenever he's been interviewed, he's very shaky. His voice is a little shaky. And I don't know. So, but the guy won't, I mean, he constantly has a cigarette in his mouth. And
it's sad. I mean, cigarette addiction is.
I know.
It's harder to quit, by the way, than heroin.
Yeah.
Just to let all y'all know.
Yeah.
And I quit it, thankfully, 24 years ago. But he gave the doc a little gravitas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so did Johnny Cryer, who you interviewed.
I love him. Yes.
It was his loveliest interview. it was so sweet. And
well,
John,
you know,
Alvin,
I just want to say that
everybody
who listened to the John Cryer video was just like, wow, he's so chill. And that's, you know, he's just super nice and super friendly.
He's a sweet, sweet man. And I mean, I think he wanted to tell his story because he didn't want anybody else to tell their story.
Right.
Don't chew that, baby girl. but no, I mean, Sean Penn talking, because he's known Charlie since they were kids. They lived in that area of Malibu when they were children. So they grew up together. I mean, there's shots of Chris Penn falling out of the refrigerator that I was just by. the other day. So it's like, it was Chris and Sean were doing that. And so, but Sean, I think what he said in the doc was important because he wasn't giving Charlie any, passes.
Right.
He was like, dude, the man was fucked up and we hope he stays sober kind of thing, you know, because I've known him for 50 years at this point. And so, I mean, you know, I mean, and by the way, the Sheen family, the nicest humans on the planet.
Yeah, that's just kind of the vibe they give. And, you know, I've always had this thing about Charlie Sheen. Like, I think especially since he was doing the Tiger Blood and the Winning and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
There was just, somebody posted on social media that that was a cry for help. And either people were laughing at him or laughing with him. And I remember understanding, you know, he was really messed up. I never had any negative feelings about him. I know that he's made some very bad choices. But as he says in the, you know, tiny, teeny, tiny little spoiler from the documentary, and it's very tiny. But he just says, you know, everybody talks about they prepare you to fail, but nobody prepares you to succeed. Like the, if you know, if you fail, try again. He's like, but what if you succeed on the first time? Because he did. You know, the first movie that he did just went insane and he became instantly famous. I mean, you could take a look at somebody like Julia Roberts, and a similar thing happened to her. Even though she was in a couple of movies before Pretty Woman, I mean, she was in Steel Magnolias. So she definitely, you know, I think she was nominated. Did she win? I don't remember if she won. She might have won the Academy Award for that. But
she went for Pretty Woman.
Did she did?
Yeah. She won it for Pretty Woman.
Well, but I mean,
of
she's
all
one
movies,
of
movies. She won it for Pretty Woman.
That's so funny. One of the things about her, though, is like she was catapulted into fame at a very, very young age, and she was able to kind of take on that role of movie star in a way that she remained in the spotlight. She remained America's, you know, one of America's favorite actresses. Yeah, and so it's like, but Charlie, unfortunately, was unable to do that. And, you know,
I mean, there's the Sean Penns, there's the Charlie Sheen, there's the
Emilio.
If I'm just going to go with men, and then there's the women. Jodie Foster started as a young child. I mean, we can go on. John Cryer was young.
Yes.
Molly Ringwald. I mean, we can go on and on with people that Brooke Shields, you know, I mean, we can go on and on with people that struck gold when they were way too young to deal with it. Charlie was 18. He wasn't 12 like Brooke Shields.
That's true. That's true.
You know, and so it's like, and he was living in a family that understood that already. So it's like, he just didn't take the information.
No.
And I'm not disparaging him at all.
No, it's just observing. It's just looking at what he did. Yeah.
He didn't understand how fame was, which is probably because his parents shielded him from it.
Yeah.
Most likely, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, is like, they were such good parents that they shielded their children from their dad's fame. And I was shielded to a certain extent, but it was on weekly.
Wow.
You know, my mom's show was on every week.
I know. It's like you couldn't really hide that.
From the time I was 9 months old until I was 11 and a half every week, you know. And so I kind of had to deal with it differently than maybe Charlie would have had his dad been on West Wing, maybe.
Right, yeah.
When he was a kid, it might have been a different experience for him dealing with the fame of his dad and then going, oh, wait, hold on.
Right.
This is how you deal with this. Because his dad is like the most humble, nicest, sweetest, laughed at my jokes yesterday.
Aw, he's so cute.
On the planet, and I cannot wait for everybody to hear his podcast. They haven't titled it yet, but as soon as they do, obviously you will know first.
That's so cool.
But it's going to be great. It's going to be great because he is just, first off, a great storyteller, and it's going to be about his stories and these poems that he's reading that relate to him.
Wow.
So I think it's going to be. It's unique, and he's like, do you think people will listen to it? I'm like, yeah.
Probably. And I think Magic 8 Ball says likely.
I told Renee, I said, there is going to be a chance for you to make money. It's called a mid-roll. And she goes, what is that? And I said, in the middle of whatever he's talking about, find a place to stop talking, and then you get the money. And she's like, oh, because they don't know about this
exactly.
stuff.
The mid-roll.
It's so sweet. It's a mid-roll. That's the moneymaker. pre and posts are great, but mids are the thing. And I'm like, you're going to have to find a place for breath and you just take a break. Kanai will help you through it. I love Kanai. And he'll Kanai's show you awesome. How to do it. Isn't he? And
yeah, he puts up with my stories too. Whenever we have to talk, I'm like, oh my God, and this happened and that happened. That I'm sure he's just like, I don't give a shit. Shut up, Kimberly. But he's super nice about it.
The first time I saw Kanai's name, I thought Kanai was a woman.
Me too.
Because that's such a Hawaiian lady girl name. So I'm like, oh, it's a dude. Okay.
But it turns out that he's like the nicest person that's ever lived.
He's so sweet. He's so sweet. I love him. He's just the best. When we got back on MSW Media, I had to learn a new thing, and he screen shared with me, and yes, he showed me new stuff, and I just that's what I emailed to him and Allison yesterday. I said, thank you so much for taking Martin and Renee's show. I know they really appreciate it, and I know Kanai, you're going to take care of him. And he goes, oh, that's so sweet. And then Allison goes, I'm so glad I know you. And I'm like, oh.
Well, guess
what? They're happy to be involved.
I'm sure they are. But since you mentioned it, it's a perfect time to take a little break. So we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. You know, I'm not the best at promoting myself. So why don't you do me a favor? If you like what you're listening to, go to patreon.com/startmeup. Take a look at all the tiers offered and support the show. Become a patron today. I thank you in advance. And we're back, mid-roll.
See? Hello, mid-roll. We love you.
I don't always do it, though. I have a tendency to forget. So
see, what I always do is I just... Well, because with our show, as you know, we have breaks.
Right. That's easy.
So it's much easier.
Yes, it's much easier. It's like I have to kind of break up the whole momentum to do it. But and, you know, I'm not even that I don't make tons of, for all of you listening. I'm not like the big money maker on the mid roll. But, you know, that's OK. I do this. It's a labor of love. And, you know, I was talking to my patrons the other day about I've been having this issue because ever since the election, you know, I didn't really focus on politics for the first several months of the year because I was in shock and I was in just, it was upsetting as
in mourning.
Yeah. A lot of things were upsetting. So now, you know, I am back into it, but what I, and this is what I told everybody, I see all of my peers ascending in that, like a lot of people are going over to Substack and they're doing Substack lives and, you know, whatever, people are doing more and more. And it's funny because I've kind of been doing less and less, and it's all a choice. I'm making the choice. But at the same time, I feel like my contemporaries are kind of ascending past me and I feel left behind. But again, it's my choice. So I'm not complaining. It just feels weird because there, you know, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to do lives on Substack. And I frankly don't it's like I'm trying to follow that inner voice that, you know, do what you want to do and do what you love. I started doing that manifesting podcast and I've stopped and I may go back to it. I think I will go back to it at some point. But the reason I stopped was because I felt like I was not able to kind of, how can I explain? I'm not, okay, when it comes to that particular subject about manifesting, things like that, I am not concise because it's very difficult for me. Let me just put it to you this way. For the last basically 6 years, I've immersed myself in listening to near-death experiences, analyzing things that have happened to me, trying to figure out who we are and how it is that we manifest. And so I've come to these conclusions. And if I tell you, oh, well, here I have this conclusion, you know, I see it this way. If I explain that to you, I feel the need to explain why I see it that way. And it's, you know, it's, I literally have listened to at least 1,000 near-death experiences now. And then again, it's my own history going over, you know, things that I couldn't explain happening, listening to people I trust with the same issues and experiences. So I feel like when I try to express myself, I get so overwhelmed because I feel like I have to explain everything. And I feel overwhelmed by doing it. So I kind of halted that. And I really do think that since I've stopped doing it, I've evolved even more into understanding more about it. So I feel like I don't want to give information that's not really helpful to people. So I've just halted it. So it's like in all these areas of my life, I feel like I've slowed down. And everybody else is just like Substack this and podcast. I mean, I have my podcast, but you know what I mean? It's like, no, it's a weird feeling. And I'm not, it's not me complaining. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. It's just odd. I've been in this world and I've been, you know, keeping up and keeping up and keeping up. And then I was just like, I don't want to keep up anymore. I don't feel it. And then I see everybody else going and I'm like, but so it's this weird dichotomy.
when I told Renee the other day that I started my podcast in 2009, she dropped her jaw. And she's like, what? Yeah. And I said, yeah, I had it for almost 15 years.
Wow.
Until I started doing Stephanie's show. I had my show for 15 years.
Yeah.
And And so now I'm back on the radio, which is, we are terrestrial as well as on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, but it's like, yeah, I had a show for 15 years. She goes, what? And then I said, oh, and it's just Sean and me. We don't have editors. Right. We don't have, we have lovely Kimberly and we have MSW Media to help promote the show. But other than that, it's just Sean and me, you yeah. know, he records the show in DC. We do it via Zoom mm-hmm. and he does it at his house and then sends everything to our radio affiliates in segments. Mm-hmm. And then I do the podcast version of it because I record it here. And so I send it to MSW Media and I send the commercial free version to our Substack people because we do have that. And so it's like we're both doing it. He does the bulk of the work on the website, by the way. He's heavy lifting mm-hmm. over there. So hopefully we have applied for some grants. And
oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get enough money to like hire somebody to do, take some of the workload mainly yeah. off of Sean. I'm the guest booker mainly. Sean does book a little bit, but I'm the guest booker. We have Sherry Jacobus next week.
Oh, wow. Sherry, friend of the show.
I can't wait to meet her.
She's so little. She's We're so, I mean, to... I say that about everyone because I'm 6 feet tall.
Well, but... you're a very tall lady. But I mean, we're trying to get Jeff Tiedrich on.
Oh, wow.
And I emailed him and he's like, I can't say no to you because I listen to you on the Bob Seska show. But I'm terrified to be on the radio. I'm like, seriously? And so I have his phone number now. So I'm like, I'm going to text him and go, Jeff.
Yeah.
Come on. It'll be
get
okay.
over yourself.
Come on, Bubba. Come on, Bubba.
Everybody wants to hear you now. You've been.
I know. Yeah. It's Jeff Tiedrich. Are you kidding me? And it was so cute. He was like, I can't say no to you, but.
That's so. Who I can say no terrified. To Jody?
No, he was like, but I'm terrified to do Aww. It. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's well, like one of the best pundits out there.
I know. And I mean, for me, you know, it's so funny because when I was growing up, I always talked on the phone. I mean, I was just like a phone person.
Yeah,
and
me too.
In fact, you know, I met this girl when I was working. I was in like my early 30s and I was doing fragrance modeling. And, you know, we were friendly at work and whatever. I moved to another store and then I saw her sometime later. And I was like, hey, do you like to talk on the phone? And she's like, sure. And I was like, well, here's my number. And then it's like she turned out to be one of my, and I like to call them phone friends, which is like primarily mm-hmm. on the phone. We lived in the, she lived in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles and we almost never saw each other, but we talked on the phone constantly. And it's funny because now that I'm, you know, in the situation that I'm in, I have a boyfriend. I have, I work from home. I just don't have I don't do that anymore. But right. what I do is I podcast, which to me is almost the same thing because yeah. it's like, you know, even though I'm not on the phone with you, that's, I don't see you. See, I like the podcast where it's not video. I prefer audio only just because number one, I never watch podcasts ever.
Same. I don't, but apparently people do.
Yeah,
I don't,
some people do and some people me. Like it. But I, you know, it's like if I'm going to listen to a podcast, it's because I want to go clean. I want to drive. I want to, you know, have something to accompany me during some kind of mindless task. And so
right.
I don't need to see their faces with headphones on. I just don't need to see
exactly.
it. And some
I'm
people like
you.
It. So if you like it, that's great. I just don't care. It doesn't bother
no,
me.
No, I agree. I mean, and Sean wants us to go video and it's like, he's been recording us video wise. And
then I'm like
I,
no, I'm not doing it.
No, I was like, I need to figure out a different way to put my computer because right now I'm looking down and that doesn't look good on video. Right. So I'm like, I have to like, and I don't wear makeup, but
yeah,
still.
But you know what? Allison is doing her podcast now with Midas Touch. She does Substack Live. She never fucking puts on makeup. And I really love this because, you know, Pam Anderson has started this whole movement.
She
right?
didn't start it.
She didn't start it. Okay, she didn't start it. But she's known like now. Pretty widely yes. now for
I think it was
very
Alicia
famous...
Keys who started that.
Okay. Well, but she's carrying it on, right?
Yes, she is.
And so
she's
I
my
think...
age.
Yes, and she's kind of introducing all the women to like, hey, we don't have to do this if we don't no. want to. And I don't want to like shame anybody for wearing makeup or not wearing
oh,
makeup.
God, no.
It's just what you want. But there is this feeling like you have to wear makeup and you have to make yourself quote unquote presentable for mm-hmm. the camera where, you know, because like Bob I hate being on camera. I hate being on camera for a variety of reasons. And it's funny because I used to be an actress, but I hate it. And part of it is just because it's like, it's time consuming. I have to arrange the room I'm in. I have to put all my makeup on. And I don't have to, but I feel that need to. And especially because like my skin is uneven and I have dark circles underneath my eyes. I don't love, I can look okay without makeup, but I mean the it's on video, it's just going to pick up all the things that I specifically hate. So it's like time consuming to do video and I just don't want to do it. But well, no, I totally understand. I mean, I understand like people like it though.
Absolutely. Like yesterday when I was called in at the last minute, literally to host Stephanie's show.
Mm-hmm. Right, because she was sick from her COVID shot.
It was not the COVID, it was the flu shot. Trust me, it was the flu shot.
Oh, okay.
She had them both at the same time. It was when she told us her symptoms, I'm like, that's not COVID, that's the flu. but I was on my way because I know how far the cameras are from everywhere. I'm like, I don't wear makeup. I used to wear makeup when I first started going on her show 10 years ago. And I just stopped. I'm like, why am I bothering? Nobody can really see me that close, so why do I care? So I stopped wearing makeup years ago. And so yesterday, no makeup. Drive over there, boom, my glasses are, you know, huge and hair is askew and I need to, you know, dye it and all that stuff. I stopped giving a shit about that a long fucking time ago because I'm 58 years old.
Woohoo!
And you know what? I don't care. And it was funny when we were leaving Uncle Martin and Aunt Janet's house, as we're walking to our car, Uncle Martin goes, "You guys look like you're 12. I said, "It's all the good work I've had done." And he laughed. And I have had work. I'm not going to deny. I have had a facelift and I'm not going to deny any work I've had done. I had my boobs enhanced and then not enhanced. And then
what does enhanced mean? Made bigger?
I had a boob job in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
They went from a small B to a small C.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2009, I had those removed.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed a breast lift after that because skin, right? So I've had them bigger, smaller, and a lift. Mm-hmm. And then I did get a facelift 10 years ago. Yeah. A little over 10 years ago. And I highly recommend it if you can afford it.
Well, I saw Ricky Lake. You know what? Ricky Lake was on I think she was on that show on Bravo with Andy, whatever that show is. And she had it was like one of the lower facelifts, you know, for your bottom half of your face.
That's what I did. I basically did a not quite just a neck. It was a lower facelift is what I had done.
Yeah. And she said that she named the doctor. And she's like, I've told all my friends, and she looks amazing.
Yeah.
And she told all her friends, you know, go to this guy. So I saved the video in case I ever go out to California and decide to.
I like pay for my doctor Nazarian, I think is his name. I can't remember it. And it was he did what I wanted. He didn't go too tight. I mean, I look just younger. I mean, friends of mine that have known me forever, they're like, no, you look like you.
Yeah.
Just younger.
How long did it take you to recover?
It was a week.
That's not bad.
He put this thing in that was drainage. I didn't have to have a lot of stuff on my face. Mm-hmm. He put this like drainage thing that drained. Then that was interesting. And then when he pulled it out, I'm like, is it going to hurt? He goes, did that hurt? And he just pulled it out and it was fine. And it was mainly in my jaw where that was. I mean, I still want something done on my chin because I'm like looking at everything now. Because I'm like, oh, I need more. But I'm looking at old pictures when I smiled. My wrinkles when I was 45 were worse than they are now when I smile. So I'm like, it's still holding up. Yay.
Right.
thank you, doctor. And he was great. And it was about a week. And Lonnie was on the road. So his mom and stepdad came and helped me. Aww. Whilst I was going through the beginning parts of like I had to shower and stuff, you know.
Was it painful?
No, good medication. but I was sleeping in the living room so I could sleep sitting up.
Yeah.
And our cat was like kind of near me. She's like, "Are you okay?"
And
I'm like,
"Aw, she's just mommy."
Mommy, okay. but yeah, it was a Michigas, but. And I will always admit to that. I'm not going to never admit to any work. I had a tummy tuck. a few years ago. Oh, in fact,
I seem to remember that. Yeah,
it was on a Thursday, and I wanted to do Bob's show whilst it was happening because I was awake for it.
Wow.
And the doctor wouldn't let me have my cell phone because it would have been hilarious.
Oh my God, I bet. Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, I do remember when you had that. I've had nothing done. I mean, I've had, like, there's been a few times. I remember when I was 28 and I used to be a smoker too. And so I looked at myself. I was, you know, going to go to work, and I was looking at myself in the rear view mirror just to check my makeup. And I noticed that I had that nasolabial fold line, you know, that a lot of people, not all people, have. And I completely freaked out. It was the first time I ever noticed it. And I completely freaked out, and I became obsessed. And it was so funny because at the time, my mother got, it was called permanent collagen. That's what her doctor called it. And she was kind of, what do you call it? Like a test run on this particular, I don't know, injection. And it was very natural too. It was just an injection and in her smile lines, and it, you know, it didn't take them away completely. It just plumped them up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so my friend Rich and I, who is no longer with us, and he was an actor, and he was kind of like my brother, and he was so amazing. We were so close, and we had such a good relationship. But anyway, he obsessed about his – he was the one who introduced me to the term nasal labial folds, and we would look at them in his kitchen mirror, like, obsessed with our nasal labial folds. And I'm like, mine's deeper than yours. He's like, no, mine's deeper than yours. And then my mother gets hers filled. And we're both so jealous. And I went to her doctor, and her doctor said to me, he's like, come back in like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I have to say that while I have them, they're still not that deep.
No.
So, I mean, they're there, but they're not that deep. And, you know, and it's like, I'm kind of battling this whole, you know, I battle it because I want to get in, I think, well, maybe I should go get Botox because I've got these lines between, you know, my eyes, the crinkled forehead thing.
That thing.
And they're not deep, but they're there, and they're pretty superficial, but I can see them in photographs now. And then I think, but do I really want to do Botox? Why should I spend the money? Who gives a shit in the end?
My view is, I go back and forth. If you're going to spend the money, do the surgery because it's going to save you money in the long
run. Yes, I agree with you. I agree.
Because that stuff, I've never done Botox, and I won't. Lonnie did it once, and I'm like, why? Because Botox doesn't fix it. It just makes you not make it worse.
Doesn't it take it. The lines away?
For the time that the Botox is working.
Right. And then you have to go do it again, and you keep putting
exactly. So, I mean, the lines are always going to be there. They just don't, you just can't make them worse,
right?
Basically, because you can't move your face.
Yeah. And see, that's the other thing that I don't like. And I don't want to have, I would rather do, you know, if I were going to do it, that facelift that you had, that, you know,
yeah, it was a mid face. It was just a mid facelift.
Yeah.
Because I can make, you know, frown lines on my forehead and stuff, but they're just not there all the time, so I don't see the point of, and my eyebrows are fine, and my eyes, I would like my eyelids to not be as heavy, but that's genetics. and I could get that done as well, but I haven't yet. So I didn't need to do a full, you know, pull it back like, you know, that Barbie that you used to pull her hair, or from my ankles up, which I would like to do by basically just pull my ankles up through my head. That would be awesome. Because then everything is lifted.
Exactly.
But no, I just went mid-face because that's what my problem that I saw was.
Right.
And it definitely took care of the jowls that I had at the time. They aren't quite back yet, but they're coming back.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I still have a little bit of numbness, which is interesting because that's, an issue, but I've had numbness on the right side of my face since I had my jaw surgery when I was 14. So I'm not, I'm completely used to that. So it's like, okay, I've had that for 40 something years. So it's not that bad, but no, I mean, he did a great job. And I said, would it be better if I had no hair? And he goes, no, I like it when you have hair, 'cause I can hide the stitches.
Oh, that's good. Okay, wait. Now I need to switch gears here a little bit because I want to ask you a question. I have like all these political questions just in case.
Okay.
Because I know that we have a tendency to just, you know, like when I have my friend Stephanie on, Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. I don't even
know. I love her.
And I don't even make notes because we just blab. And that's how I'm with you. But I thought, you know, I didn't make notes for what we're talking about now, but I do want to ask you this though, because many, you know, Jody, many people are saying, many people are predicting that Trump isn't going to make it, right? That he's sick. And even Alex Jones gave him 6 to 8 months. And I think I told you on your show, and I'm going to say his name wrong again, but it was Matt Greene, whatever his name is. He wrote for The Simpsons, and he predicted that Trump was going to be.
Matt,
yeah. No, not the Greenick, not that one.
Okay.
Not the one we all know. It's another guy.
Okay.
So it's a Greener or Grainer. I don't know, Greeny. But anyway, he predicted 15 years prior to Trump becoming president that he would become president. So
yes,
then
he
comes out, I think it was in June, and in July, he did two videos on TikTok, and he said, you know, hey, Trump's not going to make it. I think he said this year. I think it was for 2025. He didn't say what was going to happen. All he said was Trump is not going to be president by the end of the year. And the odd thing is, and this one is the hard thing for me to buy, but he didn't think J.D. Vance was going to be the president either. So I don't know what that means. But regardless, he did two videos and he made them funny. And I think the reason he made them like into sketch comedy, but he straight up predicted that Trump isn't going to be around by the end of this year. And he said, you know, he didn't predict whether or not he was going to die. But I'm curious because it's like he made this prediction. Then, you know, we saw, like I said, Alex Jones has made the prediction 6 to 8 months from now. He thinks he's going. Lev Parnas, there was a story in Ross. It was Ross' story. And I'm sure it was somewhere else, too. But either way, Lev Parnas said he has connections in the White House and they're all talking about the fact that Trump's unhealthy. I think that time where he was missing for 5 days from the public eye, specifically his voice was missing. I think he probably had a stroke.
Yeah, we saw the picture of his face drooping.
Yeah. And although I don't understand because I've seen him since then and his face isn't drooping. And does it permanently droop or does it just droop sometimes?
I know people that have had strokes. It doesn't permanently droop.
Okay. Well, and I thought at the time he might have had a stroke. And, you know,
too.
We all wondered, is he going to show up to this event that he did, the announcement thing that was just proof of life? You know, after we hadn't seen him for 5 days, there was no reason he had to do that presser. He just was showing everybody that he was still alive. And but, you know, there's just all this shit going on. So as far as people thinking he's not going to make it. And I mean, it goes from big people like big names. There are doctors all over the internet who obviously because nobody has access to him. We don't know. Everything is literally speculation, but they make it so that that's all we've got is speculation. So there are doctors on the internet who are like, yeah, it looks like he's got congestive heart failure. Yeah, he might have a problem with, I can't remember if it's his liver or kidney or whatever it is, but, you know, there could be this going on. And then everybody's wondering about, you know, does he have, and I don't remember the name of the machine. I keep wanting to call it Vlad, but it's some kind of, contraption that's hidden underneath your clothes. And then they think that he's wearing a catheter and he's got the cankles and it's got the bruises. Oh, and there was one person who did this whole thread on Twitter. He's not of note. I don't think he was like a famous person or anything, but he basically was saying that he was noticing the bruises on Trump's hands were getting, or more prominent, like on the 24th of every month. I thought, huh, that's interesting. I never noticed that. So anyway, all that said, you know, Trump isn't healthy. And so I just want to ask you, a couple questions about this because I want to know where your mind is. But I mean, number one, as far as Trump's health, I know you're not a psychic oracle, or maybe you are, but do you have that feeling? Like, do you think he's not going to make it, or do you think he's going to, I mean, I can't imagine he's going to make it all the way until 2028.
He is not healthy.
Yeah.
And the people around him don't care about him.
No.
And that's sad for him. Mm-hmm. It's been sad for him his whole life.
Yeah.
I don't feel pity for him because he's made choices.
Right.
But as a human, I feel sad for the other human that has never been taken care of.
Yeah.
By anybody in his family, including his children. They couldn't care less about him.
Mm-hmm.
They just want the money. And, you know, I don't blame them at this point.
Yeah.
And most of them are awful as well.
Yes.
He is not well. I don't think he'll make it to 2028. I think he will pass away peacefully, most likely, asleep, which...
Well, that would be like, you know what? That's the best way to fucking go. That's how Robert Redford went.
It is. Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, he's so, oh. But as far as J.D. Vance is concerned, he is gunning for Donald.
You mean to leave?
He wants Donald gone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, hosting a freaking podcast yesterday or Monday? The fuck?
Yeah, it's very clear.
If Vice President Harris had gone on to host Rachel Maddow's podcast.
So, okay, now there's the whole debate online. I have an opinion, and I think because you're on Bob's show, I don't know what your opinion is, but I know what Bob's opinion is. So let's say we get Vance, right? He's the president. Okay, obviously the guy is smart, and obviously the guy is dangerous.
Yes, but he's not got the charisma.
There you go. And that's what, you know, it's like, that's what Bob has said. I've talked to my mother about this because I was like, okay, but what about this? Let me ask you this, because here's me playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Let's say that, he's the president. So you've got all these independents, right? And they lean right. And maybe they hate Trump. And Trump just is nothing but chaos, and they see it, and they don't like him. So JD comes on the scene, and now he's the POTUS. And he seems less chaotic. Maybe he knows how to play that game. I don't know, but let's just say maybe he knows how to play that game. And not that he looks so present, but do you think that the right-leaning independents are going to fall for it?
The MAGAs won't, because he's not. He called Donald a Nazi.
Yes,
and
he did.
And they all know that. So it's in the back of their minds with JD. JD has Peter Thiel and others behind him, and Project 2025 behind him. So he's got the money changers, to quote Jesus, behind him. So there's that problem with JD Vance, because they are trying to make him look presidential right now.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, he's weird, like Governor Walz said. And he's just so weird. And he cannot handle, like, Donald can throw things away at the drop of a hat beautifully. I don't agree with it, but he's really good at it. And the press goes with it. But the press doesn't like JD like they like Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Do you think the press problem. Likes Donald or fears him?
I think it's combo plate. They like him for, as Les Moonves said, for ratings.
Yeah.
And they also fear him. But I hope, I said it on Bob's show yesterday, and I said it on my show yesterday. My mom sued the National Enquirer. They wanted to settle. Mm-hmm. And she said, fuck no. And they would have given her, she sued for $10 million. She probably could have gotten two. Easily out of the settlement. And she said, no, I'm going to trial these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to spend my money to keep suing them for 9 fucking years.
Wow.
It took 9 years to get to trial because they kept trying to settle.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. Henry Kissinger was deposed because he was part of the story. Wow. And the only good thing he ever did was say that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think the New York Times would say, fuck you, Donald. They have the money to not be sued for libel. They did not lie about him. Don't settle, assholes.
Right. Yeah.
Don't bend the fucking knee. You have the money for 9 years. Like, my mom didn't have the same kind of money as the National Enquirer did, but she kept it on.
Yeah.
Donald has money to keep suing, but he will never want to be deposed. And the New York Times should take a page out of my mom going, no, I'm not fucking settling. We're going to trial.
And you know what's so funny is they did bend the knee to Donald, and he's still fucking with him. It's like, when are these people going to fucking realize that you bend the knee and it doesn't guarantee you any safety?
No, you give the bully money, he's going to come back for $10 more.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like
$15 billion. He's suing them for $15 billion.
He's not going to, if they're smart about it, and they have lawyers on staff.
Yeah.
And it's like, seriously? I would be, if I ran that fucking paper, I'd be like, fuck that guy. I'm going to Carol Burnett his ass and go to trial.
They need to call Carol. Carol needs to give him some advice on this. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. I feel like, you know how, I guess Pam Bondi came out yesterday and said that they weren't going to go after people who were shitting on Charlie Kirk. And, you know, but they're using it to make people fearful. And I don't know. Okay, the question I want to ask you now is, and I mean, I ask everybody this, and I ask everybody this all the time, because I ask myself all the time, you know, where are you in the are we going to survive this thing right now?
I think we will. I'm more optimistic than I should be, potentially. But what I've noticed in the past day or two is more Democrats that are in positions of power are fighting back to Pam Bondi and the Charlie Kirk BS that's going on. Because, I mean, the woman that got fired from the Washington Post for just quoting Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
I'm like, seriously, she just quoted. She just quoted him.
Yeah.
She did nothing wrong. So why are we firing her for quoting what the dead guy said?
Yeah.
And I'm not condoning what happened to him. I think it's awful that his wife and children had to witness that, and everybody else there that had to witness it, and the people online that witnessed it, which I thankfully did not have to witness.
I saw it. I didn't see it on purpose.
I don't want to see that, and I'm glad I did not stumble upon it, because that's horrific.
That's exactly what happened to me. I stumbled upon it, and it was like, because, you know, I posted that I saw it, and I wish I never did, and people are like, why did you even watch? And it's like, oh my God, I didn't go looking for it. I was on Twitter because I fucking have to be. Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter because of MSW Media. I still have my Twitter account, and I tweet a little bit because I'm over there, but really, I'm not over there because there's no point. If I tweet something, I don't have the check, so nobody ever sees it. But I was scrolling, and something caught my eye. And, you know, and it was the video that had an autoplay, and it was 4 seconds. So, you know, I had stopped because whatever it was that caught my eye, you know, I stopped it, and then it just played, and then I saw it. So it's there. It's in my head.
No, I mean, and Bella with a Z, her little sister, who's 14 years old, she was in class when it happened, and a friend of hers goes, look at this. And she had to see it.
Right.
And these are kids already going through, you know, shooter drills.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, okay, y'all saw what a gun does to somebody's body.
Right.
Are we going to stop it now?
Yeah, really.
Imagine what it does to the little children.
Yeah.
That are shot more than
once. It was fucking horrifying. You know, and when it happened, I mean, I was really freaked out because I remember it was like Wednesday. It was a week ago. I was doing my work, and I saw, I mean, it was probably within seconds that the news came down. And I knocked on Bob's office door, and I'm like, did you hear what happened to Charlie Kirk? And he said, no. And I'm like, man, this isn't fucking good. This is fucking bad. And you know, look, I'm one of these people that just with you, I don't think he should have been murdered for his opinion.
Nobody should be murdered for their opinion.
I don't like the way that his death has been handled. I don't like these people, you know, turning him into some free speech beacon. And then on top of it,
weaponizing his death.
Yes. And on top of it, it's like, they are wanting to crack down on the free speech
that he liked.
Yes, that they're saying that he was the champion of. And then he's also telling everybody to release the Epstein files. So I don't, you know, we should honor that, right? Let's honor Charlie Kirk by releasing.
Honor him with that.
And you know, I want to say to everybody who's still listening to this, please post about the Epstein files, because a lot of people are forgetting it now. I don't, you know, we did hear that the victims, and I don't like calling them victims, I would rather call them survivors, but the Epstein survivors said a couple of weeks ago that they were going to make their own list. So I'm hoping that if this does happen, that kind of comes back and brings this all back into the news, because we saw, you know, how quickly the conversation shifted.
Patel yesterday saying, oh, there's nobody on the list that we don't already. It's like,
it's just, they just trafficked them for Jeffrey.
No.
That's what he said, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Don't think so. We're not that stupid. No. So not even the MAGA are that stupid, because they know.
But you know, only smart people don't like Donald.
I know.
He's not wrong.
But the weird thing is there are some smart people out there who I don't know if they like Donald, but they support him. So I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it's all about ideology. It's not about the person. I don't think anyone likes Donald, but I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting. So I kind of tend to fall in the same area. I do feel hopeful as well, but I feel like it's like I told Bob the other night, you know, ever since the election, I know that there are some people in this country who have been severely disrupted. These people who have been sent to other countries or taken by ICE or, I mean, just fucking horrible shit. So I don't want to pretend that everything has just been running normally. But I think for the majority of Americans, we have experienced, you know, some higher prices, but everybody's still kind of chugging along. You're living your life. You're going to work. There's still people who don't know what's going on. And I told Bob, I said, you know, I think, I don't know if it's because of Charlie Kirk or whatever, but something bad is going to happen. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it is some kind of weird martial law thing. I don't know, because there was some Democrat. I don't even know who the Democrat was, but it was a Democrat that predicted that Donald Trump was going to try to criminalize the Democratic Party. I don't think he would be able to do that. But
I mean, Stephen Miller wants to, of course, but he can't. It's
no, he can't. I don't even see how that would even be fucking possible.
I mean, people want to criminalize Antifa. It's not a thing.
It's like criminalizing air. But
exactly. Yeah. It's like, well, I'm anti-fascist, so
right. Okay. Yeah, and then that's you're a criminal because you're anti-fascist. I don't think so. But yeah, I think exactly. That I do think we're going to get past this. But I think, I don't know, I'm a little worried about the big fucking thing dropping, right? That what is it going to be? Is it going to be a Great Depression again? Is it going to be something that this regime decides to inflict upon us? I don't know. But I feel like something is going to happen, and I don't want it to. I want to be able to get through this where the majority of us are still kind of intact. And, you know,
I think we will. It's because Kirk was murdered, that lit a fire.
Yeah.
But not the fire they wanted. They wanted a Reichstag fire. They wanted
right. Yes,
that.
They
and
did.
That has not happened. Because literally when he died, Lonnie goes, yeah, I never heard of him. So as famous as they all think he was, he wasn't that famous.
No.
You know, he was famous in a small circle of people that paid attention to politics. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe 30% of people that pay attention to shit knew who he was.
Yeah, which is a small number.
So Greg Gutfeld can go fuck off when he says that Melissa Hortman wasn't anybody famous, so why should we care?
Right.
You can fuck off. Because a mass amount of people had no idea who Charlie Kirk was until he was murdered.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, I'm going to stay on this hopeful, you know, I mean,
we have to.
One of the things that I do, you know, because I am spiritual, and I'm not saying everybody should, but if you are spiritual and this is your thing, what I like to do, because I feel like, you know, there's that song, God, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? And so I do think love is like, just imagine if all of our efforts and behaviors and everything came from a loving point of view. Like, we live on Earth, so shit's going to happen. You know, there's going to be natural disasters. People are going to get hurt. There's going to be hard things to deal with. But so much of what we deal with that's awful is human created. It comes from either cruelty or greed or apathy or whatever. And it's like, imagine if everything that we did, you know, like, imagine if the Democrats and the Republicans were fighting to you know, to be the party that gave the most,
yep,
as opposed to having one party just want to take everything away. And, you know, if we just came from love, it would be, and I know that that's not going to happen, especially right now, that all of us do that. But what I try to do is I imagine, like, I think of an animal that, you know, a kitten or a dog that I know, or just an animal that I love. And I kind of fill myself up with that unconditional love for the little, and pets are easy to feel unconditional love for. And absolutely, it's like, you just fill yourself up with that love. And then I literally just imagine that I'm pushing that love out into the universal energy. and just say, go where it's going to go. And it's not that I think that I'm making all this difference and I'm changing the world, but I think that if we all who believed that way, even just a little bit, made that effort, send out, because, you know, they've done studies that people who pray for their loved ones, that it helps. And I, you know, I'm all into the energy that we put out, and I just want to put out good and loving energy. And it's, that's the other thing that's so hard for me. And I know you have to go, but it's like, you know, I want to be loving, and my nature is sarcastic and I can't stand these Republicans. So it's like, I can't be loving toward the Republicans. So I just, instead of focusing on them specifically, I just send love out to everyone. And I just don't know what's going to happen with that energy, but you know, it's outside of speaking up or resisting or doing, you know, it's one thing that I can do personally. So that's what I try to do, because I am hopeful and I am with you. And I think we're going to get through this, but I don't see how it's going to happen right now. And, you know, I'm just trying to keep the faith, because that's what that's like, you got to have faith in this. I want to have faith in us and what we're doing. And, you know, even though not all of the Democrats are meeting the moment, I want to have faith in the party, and I want to have faith in the good people in the party who are doing everything that they can to beat the shit down. So I don't know. I'm, you know, talking to you always feels good though, because you're easy like Sunday morning.
We've got we gotta have faith. We got easy like Sunday morning. We got a lot of songs in here.
I know. I'm just all about the music. Because you've got to have faith. and you know, I one of these days I'm gonna make a playlist on my YouTube with all my favorite Lionel Richie songs. Cause I fucking love Lionel Richie. He's so awesome. So, yeah. And I love Easy Like Sunday Morning. So, okay, Jody, I love you, and everybody loves
you. Too.
So we're all going to imagine giving you a big virtual hug right now. Thank you for being on the show. And anytime. I know you've got to go run and interview my boyfriend. So
I know. So he's right in the other room. Yeah.
In the other room. So why don't you just, I mean, tell everybody where you are and politics and all of it. And I'm just going to let you talk.
I'm at thepoliticsbar.com Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. MSW Media is our podcast host. We're also on WCPT. Oh, good God, I should know all the radio stations. there's one in Minneapolis. I apologize to you guys. And then one in Tennessee. I apologize to you guys. And then Georgia now is coming up. And I'm so sorry. And Political Voices, because I don't have it in front of me. I love all of you guys. And thank you for being nice to me. and we do have the lovely Bob Seska on the show this evening. And we'll have Miss Kimberly Johnson on our show again soon, I hope.
Yes, we will. So, all right. Well, Jody, it's always great talking to you. Thank you so much for giving me your time today. And we'll talk again.
Absolutely. I love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyo from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.